62. I'm going to preach tonight on P.S. All that's going on, I just got a P.S. Amen. You ever seen that at the end of a letter? Everything been said they could think of, and then there's a sign in the letter and thought of something else to say. And so they put a P.S. on the end of it. I've been having trouble with my throat. I preached for Eddie Denson here a few Sundays ago, and he kissed me, and I hadn't got over it yet. I had been kissed like that since before the wife went to be with the Lord. But God's kept us busy. You know, you'd think if you'd be settling down, getting ready to retire and quit at my age, and I'm staying on the road, staying busy than I've ever been. It's amazing. I'll be gone for the next 4 weeks in meetings and preaching on the radio. And I just thank the Lord for the strength and the help that He's given us. Amen. I praise Him for it. I was thinking all this seems to be surrounded about worshiping God, not being ashamed of God and all that. I was at the Greer camp meeting last week, Brother Toby. And they were having their 64th meeting. The Holy Ghost carried my mind back 42 years ago, that same period of time, I went to the first camp meeting. First time. I was raised in a church that did not worship. Amen. I ate the leftover crackers down there when they had their Lord's Supper. They called it communion.
Yes, sir.
But them crackers was as dry as cracker juice.
Yes, sir.
And then I was dry. But I got saved.
Amen.
And I heard about Billy Kelly.
Yes, sir.
He was raised. Well, he wasn't raised. I was raised out in Pelham. And he was living down there in Pelham long about that time. And so they said something about his preaching a meeting at Simpsonville. And I went down to Simpsonville to that meeting. And boy, they fell in love with Brother Billy. And he said, Marty, you ought to come over now to the camp meeting at Greer. I'll be leading the singing. And I'd never been around nothing. The only shouting that I was accustomed to was when Daddy was after me, amen. And so I got over at that meeting. And boy, old Billy Kelly, he got to singing, it won't be very long. It won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near. Will you be ready?
Yeah.
And boy, he got to singing that thing about 9 feet in the wind, amen. And somebody had their hanky out. I'd never seen nobody with a hanky out before. And Billy said, if you got a hanky, get in and wave it. And I had one. I got to waving that thing. And all of a sudden, I seen a feller leave the tabernacle. You've been up there. He left that tabernacle. Back then, there's a cornfield on the other side. He went out there kissing corn stalks and hugging corn stalks and a shouting, and I thought, what in the world is wrong with him? Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, he kept a building. It got so good that I heard a fella right beside of me a shouting. And come to find out, it was me, amen. I've been enjoying it ever since. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. Now, I don't understand. I'll be honest with you. Now, don't you feel bad at me. I'm going to say this. It comes to mind. I don't understand why y'all need revival with a pastor like you got. Lord, how in the world you sit here quiet, amen? Praise God, you ought to be jumping the pew, swinging on them chandeliers up there, amen? Our church is, it's wild in Honolulu down. It's so wild. I told somebody somewhere in the meeting, I said, praise God, Sunday night it got on, so we were swinging on the chandeliers. They said, how many you got? I said, we ain't got none. That's faith, amen. You reach up and grab something, hold on to it to become something, amen. There's nothing to start with. Hey, that's good chandelier. But I want to direct you to a verse, and I promise you I'll quit what I'm done. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 4, Lord been dealing with us off and on for, well, I guess ever since Brother Toby invited us to come and start this meeting off, about this verse. This verse, I think, fits in good tonight with what we need. He says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Father, bless the word in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isaiah is speaking of a time when things are going to be different. It ain't going to always be like this.
Amen.
We hadn't even touched the hem of the garment yet.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, this is the quietest place you and I'll ever live.
Amen.
I'm not going that other noisy place.
Amen.
I knocked on the door one time inviting a lady to come to church. She said, I don't care to go to church. I said, why not? She said, ain't nothing down there but hypocrites. I said, is that right? She said, yeah. I said, well, I'm going to be in hypocrites in hell with all of them like you're going to be.
Amen.
She said, well, I don't like the racket. I said, lady, ain't no racket down there. You wait till you get to where you're going. You talk about a racket. It's going to be a racket.
Amen.
No such thing. You leave this world, you'll enter into the most racket, the noise.
Amen.
Anything you want to call it, rejoicing or whatever, crying, it's going to be in one of those two places. So Isaiah is speaking of a time and things are going to be different. And he said, now they call you forsaken and desolate.
Right.
These are two terms of an individual that really needs reviving in their heart.
Right.
When I need reviving, I'm forsaken. I feel like God's left me, like God's moved out. I feel so desolate.
Amen.
To be changed. I need to be revived. I need to be called Hephzibah and Beulah. And so he said, there's a time when this is going to change. I'm calling you forsaken and desolate now, but you hadn't been restored yet. And these two words have great meaning for the average Baptist church that I go in. I preach in churches all over and up and down, and I'm going to tell you something, friends. The average Baptist church today seems like they know nothing at all about old-time, real Holy Ghost revival.
Amen.
We had revival breakout when I was life in Houma, Louisiana, and it lasted 2.5 years of revival. Amen. Somebody come by and said, y'all in revival that died. I wish it had never come. Amen. I'm talking about somebody got saved every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every prayer meeting night. Hey, they'd be there. Church started at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and they're there at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's over singing and carrying on in the parking lot. I'm trying to get a nap, get ready for the Sunday evening services. Amen. Meditating with the Lord. I walked over and I said, God, listen, we don't start for another 2 hours. Carry your wife and young and get them an ice cream. Thank God, preacher, we come to worship. Hey, I'm not exaggerating.
Right.
I've seen them carry the children home and the wives home from church about 9 o'clock at night, come back and us pray all night long.
Amen.
Old Brother Edgar Thomas come down there, Dr. Harold Sattler, Sammy Allen, different ones. They'd tell you, said, boy, Brother Martin, does these people know what they got? I said, no, and don't tell them. Amen. I was the most reverent Martin the Baptist there. What are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about God wants to restore.
Sometimes.
See, red Israel had become unfruitful.
Yes, sir.
Unfruitful. She wasn't producing. She wasn't living where she needed to be.
Amen.
Neither is the average Baptist church living where they need to be.
Right.
The average Baptist church has become unfruitful. We can't hardly see anyone saved anymore today in the average Baptist church.
Right. You're right.
Oh, I'll tell you something. It's something to shout about if you hear of anyone getting saved.
Amen.
I can rejoice if I hear somebody got saved in this church or that church or any other church.
Yes,
brother,
right.
I'm tickled to death to hear that they have come to know Christ. See, if you study from Isaiah 61 verse 3 through Isaiah 62 verse 3, you'll see that God is sharing His promises of a reviving.
Yes, sir.
Restoration is getting back where you were.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Reviving is just like getting saved again. Did you act that way when you got saved?
I know.
The way the average Baptist acts, you wonder if they really ever got saved.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Sometime I just shout the faith.
Amen. That's right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, if you shout by faith, the feeling will come.
Amen.
That's right.
Good or bad, it'll come. Amen. I didn't start out shouting by faith.
Amen.
Oh, okay, something I learned, some divine principles when I was a young preacher. I never will get one time I was down. And the Lord said to son, what are you down about? And I started telling him, he already knew what I was down about. Anyhow, he just wanted to make sure I knew what I was. And I said, well, this and that. He said, well, won't you shout for joy?
Amen.
I said, do what? He said, the Bible says shout for joy. I went out on the back porch over outside of Sylacauga, Alabama, trying to get a little work started in a little place called Stuartville. And I got there on the back and I cut my hands up. Well, see, now this is not orthodox. They don't teach us this in Bible college. But I hollered, Joy! In a minute, joy showed up. Amen. I was jumping the barbed wire fence and kissing pine trees. Amen. I've had myself a task. You say you're emotional. I was married.
Amen.
Hello?
Yep.
Oh, that's what he's telling me. He said, I've got some promises of a reviving. And in my text, we see two words that show reviving. Hephzibah and Beulah. Now, if the Lord will help us for a few minutes, I want to preach on this subject. It's on. It's on.
Amen.
If Hephzibah and Beulah ever get together, it's on.
Amen.
Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Have you ever been around when it's on?
Amen.
Well, I've stepped up on the porch of churches. I got out of the car at camp meetings and it was already on before I got there.
Amen.
I rushed in there trying to catch up. Amen. I entered in a shower.
Yes.
Somebody said, it's a spirit on him. I said, if it was, you couldn't see it anyhow. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody wants to know if he's in the spirit or not. If I was in the spirit, I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
You won't get that.
Yes.
Amen. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Right now I'm in a body.
Yes.
Now we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be.
Yes.
But we know when He appears, we'll be like Him.
Amen.
So boy, I like this text. We find that word Hephzibah twice in the Bible. Hephzibah is an interesting lady. God don't have to say much about her, but he did say something about her that was interesting to me. If you'll flip in your Bible in 2 Kings, or if you want to mark it and read it later, in chapter 20, verse 20, and the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit, and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of Kings of Judea? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. Now the Bible's clear, when it finishes with the 20th chapter, that Manasseh was the son of his father, Hezekiah. Everybody agree with that?
Amen.
All right, look at the next chapter. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah.
Right.
What a mother to have.
Yes, sir.
For 55 years, he undoubtedly had this mother with him in his reign. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you something. The average church member has had Hephzibah in their church and didn't preach it.
You're right. Amen.
Come on. Has to get up and preach it hard out, try to get something done for God. Some old moth fat Baptist wouldn't give a dime to what the natty the bell of hay.
Amen.
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 I mean, they're not going to give, they're not going to work, they're not going to do, they're not going to testify, they're not going to go out with it. They're all going to pay to help the pastor, and they've had Hephzibah with them all that time.
Don't preach it.
Amen. I've married for almost 52 years, and I'll tell you something. There's times, hey, don't you ever tell me that y'all was in love the whole time you was married. Come on. There's times that I didn't appreciate having what I don't have now. And you're the same way. Amen. If you ever lose something that you love, you sure do miss it.
Amen.
I don't understand how people can name the name of Christ and say they love the Lord and come to church from time to time and then don't come most of the time.
Yeah.
And yet wonder why Jesus sat on the outside of that door they members of knocking, trying to get back in there. They don't want him in there.
Amen.
Now he mentioned that there in 2 Kings, and he mentioned again in my text. That's amazing. He don't say nothing about her. He just says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah.
Amen.
And thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighted in thee.
Yes.
Amen. Boy, hey, I delight myself when I get around the Lord.
Yeah.
You said, but Brother Marty, he said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. There's a difference in him being with you and you getting around him.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
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 Oh, I wish I had time digging right there. Lord have mercy. I've seen probably a good in 42 plus years preaching, and I preached and studied more on revival than anything else, Brother Stephen, in my ministry. I'm not saying this bragging. I'm getting close to preaching my 8,000th message since I've been in the ministry. I praise the Lord for that. I had an old Scoville Bible I had written down there the dates. I preached meetings and meetings and meetings and meetings all the time. I met your pastor in the meeting at Victory Baptist Church. I believe his name was, wasn't it, out there on that road, whatever that road was. Done forgot that road, but that road's still there. I don't know if the church is still there, if the church is doing anything. But Brother Toby was there, and he was about 16, 17 years old then. Amen. He's just 23 now. Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah. I have an age. He had an age. After he bragged on me like that, I'm certainly not going to make you out to be an old man. I moved here in 1988, and that's when I met you. 1988, preaching for Brother Leonard Chambers. Oh, I love this word, Hephzibah. I love this word, Beulah. You see, Hephzibah is a delight to be with.
Right.
I want to ask you a question. I want to just get down first. Are you delighted to be with us tonight?
Stay on, Richard.
I wonder why it is Baptists come into church. If they sit on that side, they never know who's on that side. If they sit on that side, they never know who's on that side.
Amen.
They sit in the middle, they don't care who's on their side.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the ones in the middle ain't on nobody's side.
Amen.
You're on their side, but they're not on yours.
Yeah.
They're not. I've met deacons, preachers, professing Christians that are not a delight to be with.
Amen.
I'm going to just share a couple of things that will help the younger members in practicality. You older theologians, this ain't going to help you a bit, but this will help them. When I first got saved and surrendered to preach and got invited to go to a preacher's fellowship, I didn't know what a preacher's fellowship was.
Yeah.
I thought a preacher's fellowship was where the preachers were in fellowship.
Yeah.
You don't have to be educated to understand that.
Yeah.
I could figure that out. You can't do. So I couldn't wait. I got over there to Spartanburg, South Carolina. And there were Bob Jones preachers there, and there were Tabernacle Baptist Church preachers there, and preachers from some other affiliation there, and all that. So there was probably 30 or 40 preachers there. And they broke for lunch. And I went up to Dr. Bob Jones, Jr. Never forget this. And I said, "Hey, Dr. Bob, my name's Marty Field. They want to meet you." And he said, "Hey, son," went right back to talking to himself. He'll talk to him. I said, "At least I got a hey, son in on this." So I went over to another fellow and introduced himself. He said, "Good to meet you." And he went back talking to that fellow. I was trying to find somebody to fellowship with, and I wasn't a delight to be with. I checked everything, and it seemed to be all right. Found out later, if you're in that fellowship, you better be in that clique.
Right.
Now, if you go over to another fellowship that they had there in Greenville, South Carolina, then you had to get in that clique. Then if you went over to another fellowship they had there in Greenville, South Carolina, they had about three, and I don't think either one of them is in fellowship.
Amen.
See, if you're really in fellowship, you're a delight.
Amen.
To be with.
Amen.
You know what I promised God 42
on,
years
brother.
Ago, and I've been practicing it. I said, "God, I don't want to ever get too big that I can't stop to talk to that one that wants to talk."
Amen.
Amen. Every little child is going to come up. Now I attract nuts and children. Every little child has come up to me, do that. I was preaching in a preacher's fellowship one time down in a certain area, and I'm not going to call that area. I don't want to reach out that far. I just want to get the point across to you.
Yeah.
I was preaching in that meeting, and the preacher told me, he said, "I want you to preach that night before it's supper time." And so I went outside to smoke. We get your attention. I went outside talking, sitting around like that, and I'm out there, and the Holy Ghost told me, he said, "You're going to get a love offering tonight." I said, "Lord, I come over here for love. I'm not supposed to get no love offering. I mean, this is the preacher's fellowship. They don't give love offering to the preacher's fellowship." And of course, I had a need, and I said, "Well, I'm not going to argue with you if you want to do that. That'd be fine with me." Amen. I went in, and I was the last preacher, and I preached that night. Just two of us preached. I got done preaching. Boy, I tell you, I done forgot about that love offering. Now, you can preach if you can forget about that love offering, but
right.
If you got that love offering on your mind, you ain't going to do the preaching.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
And so I come down from there, boy, I mean, I was sweating, my hair was all messed up, I couldn't do nothing with it. I mean, I wasn't thinking about nothing, I felt something like that. Standing a little fellow sitting there beside you, about the side of that little boy, he looked up at me and he said, "Bud Marty, the Lord told me to give you this, and he gave me a dime." And when he stuck that dime up for Brother Toby, I started to say no, and the Holy Ghost said, "You better not turn that way
right.
down."
Amen.
I said, "No, sir. No, sir, I won't." And I said, "Thank you, son." And I took that dime back over to Home of Louisiana, and I put that in the desk drawer. And a lot of times when the devil would get me a little down, discouraged, and I'd feel like it, you know, different, I'd open that drawer up, and that Holy Ghost said, "What's that back there?"
Amen.
I said, "That's the dime." He said, "That's your love offering."
That's right. Hey,
amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
Okay, I want to be a delight to be with.
Amen.
God, let little old Chris and I meet, get hooked up. Boy, I ain't saying this bragging. Don't you misunderstand. Don't take this out of the context. The Holy Ghost tell me to give him some books. Give him some books, because he's dumb in a box of rocks. You know that. And I give him books and give him books, trying to help him and love him and like that. And all I appreciate him, God's going to use him and is using him.
Amen.
Amen. I like to hook up with books. Hey, I give Brother Alan Kirk some books.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Allen needs to widen his vocabulary. Oh, y'all won't get that. I won't say no more right there. If we're to see it get on again in our churches, I'm going to give you some simple points now. Well, if you'll get in here, get them, they're there. I'm telling you, revival is in what I'm talking about tonight.
Amen.
I want you to notice verse 6. In verse 6, you've got to have influence. "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, which shall never hold their peace day or night." God said if we're going to have a revival, a restoration, if it's going to get old, we better go to paying attention to them preachers.
Amen.
I have set my preachers on the wall.
Yep.
Everybody's preaching today is not a God called preacher.
Yep.
They won't preach that Bible and set on that Bible. But God said to you here at Truth Baptist Church, I have set my watchman upon thy wall.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Amen. Aren't you glad you got some walls around you, brother?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you can be a delight to be with because God has set him
right
over you.
Right.
Oh, hey, you go to talking about the Baptist preacher being the ruler of that church, you can find out what deacon thinks God put him there to run it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hello?
You're right. Yeah.
I'm like Leroy Wright said, I may not be the pastor, but that's God, I'm here to make sure you don't. Y'all, some of y'all looking peaked looking at me. Amen. Oh, friend, if we're going to have it on again, we've got to have influence.
Yeah.
We're going to have it on again, we've got to have intercessors.
That's right.
The latter part of verse 6 said, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence.
Amen.
Amen.
In verse 7 he said, and give him no rest till he establishes.
Amen.
Hey, you not only have to have preachers, you've got to have prayers.
Amen.
Every Baptist church God ever ordained, every Baptist church God ever set up, every church God ever birthed, he gives a gift of prayer in
Amen.
That church. Somebody
Amen.
In this church,
Amen.
God set in here with a gift of prayer.
God bless you. Right.
If there are 21 or 22 different New Testament gifts in operation today, and there are, they're each one needed so the church can function as the church needs to function. And when the church doesn't have that gift functioning in its capacity, she's lacking.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God for preachers.
Amen.
Thank God for them old prayer warriors.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad that there's people that pray for me. One time I had a kidney stone attack. I did not know what a kidney stone attack was until I had a kidney stone attack. They rushed me to the emergency room. I'm there in that emergency room. I'm kicking the ceiling with my feet. I thought I was going to die. This nurse who loved to pick on preachers, she said, you having a baby? I was not in fellowship with nobody at that time. Hello? And I'll tell you something. Before they put me in that hospital about 3 o'clock that morning, it came to pass. I started shouting. Somebody said, what are you shouting about? Thank God it didn't come to stay. Hey! They said, you passed the stone. I said, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I went home. I thought, praise God, it's over. This was on a Monday night. I went home, got home sometime Tuesday afternoon. Mom said, what you want? I said, I don't know, maybe some soup, crackers, something like that. I laid down that night. My sister, brother, they live across the street. And I'm laying there in the bed, and all of a sudden, I said, uh-oh. And if you've ever experienced something one time, you've got a pretty good heads up on what's coming next. I said, Mama, call Brother Amber. I mean, my toes started turning up. It wasn't cramps. Hello? Guess what nurse met me at the door? Oh, you're having twins tonight. Months later, I'm in a meeting up in Greenwood, Mississippi. And I'm leaving to go out to the car, and I hear a lady say, Brother Pugh, can I talk to you a minute? And I turned, and here comes this young lady. And I said, yes, ma'am. Her husband's coming behind, toting one or two of the young men. She said, Brother Pugh, I need to talk to you just a minute, if you don't mind. You got time? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, a few months ago, about 1 o'clock in the morning, one night, there was something happened to you that was real bad.
What about that?
I said, yes, ma'am. She said, the Holy Ghost woke me up.
Hey.
I wanted to woke some of my church members up came in right there. Said the Holy Ghost woke me up in Greenwood, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Said, Marty, if you need you to pray for him.
I can't
stop. Ain't you glad you got a Hepzibah
right?
She got out of that bed, fell down on her knees, and started calling
me. Hey, man. That's good stuff. Thank you,
and when
Lord.
She started telling me about that, I took a run around the parking lot. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. Her husband said, yeah, Brother Marty, we've been praying for you. And we've been praying for you ever since we first met. Hey, when God lets you get filled the first time with the Holy Ghost,
right.
It's for you to edify somebody else.
Amen.
So he can absorb within them the function of what it was you had, and theirs goes into effectual working.
Amen.
They'll always pray for you.
That's it.
You may not see them again. Hey, I got a thing on Facebook. Lady said, are you the martyr of the Baptist that was at Truth Missionary Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, Brother Sandy Kay? I said, I sure was. She said, I've been trying to find out what happened to you for 40 years. I said, Lord God, honey, I didn't leave the United States. You did. You went to Alabama. She said, Brother Hughes, you don't remember my name, but my daddy was Ernest Roberts. We went to Bible college together. I said, yes, ma'am, I mean. She said, one Sunday I was on a conviction. I was just a little young girl, 7 years old. She said, nobody else could come and pray with me. She said, I looked over and I seen you standing there. And she said, I motioned and you came over. I said, honey, what can I do for you? And she said, I've lost. And she said, you pointed me to Jesus. I said, I've been looking to find out where you were for 40 years. And then on Facebook.
Amen.
I'm talking about them that's the last to be with.
Amen.
Because of the preachers.
Amen.
Because of the prayers. Y'all still with me?
Amen. Amen.
Hey, look here at this third thing. Oh man, I like this. Involvement.
Yeah.
Look at verse 8 and 9. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for thee which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it. They that have gathered it shall eat it.
Yes.
Oh, that dome's on you.
Yes.
And praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you notice it said courts? Did you know in heaven there's just one court? But before you get to heaven, God's got courts all around. See, the word for heavenly places, plural, means that every local God-ordained Baptist church is a heavenly place. And there is one of his courts. And when you enter into those courts, what's he saying? He said, we need to stay involved.
Amen.
We need to stay involved for the sake of the corn and the wine.
Amen.
Huh? Or the corn is what we see come into our church, and that corn brings us joy.
Right.
They work together. They're twins. What is that? That's our children. That's our boys and our girls. The world's after our children. Right. And the average Baptist church is dead tonight. Boys there, and ain't no young people there.
You're right.
Ain't no
Amen.
Children.
Amen.
Churches is dried up. Children ain't going to hang around someday.
Amen. Right. You're right.
That's when I was your age, son. I shoot marbles and shooting at birds with slingshots. Amen. But not saying something else. Huh?
Amen.
Y'all still
right
with me?
Yeah.
I'm talking about involved.
Yes, sir.
Oh, brother, we need that production.
Yes.
Production, both corn and wine together. That's our increase.
Amen.
Yes.
If you could just get everybody in this church involved.
Yes.
I ain't picking on you. I know Brother Toby, he'll do the preaching to you.
Amen.
He'll skin you. I'm just putting some oil in there because he probably skinned you this morning. Some of you looking like you like me.
Amen.
Y'all know what involvement means in the Hebrew? Let me explain it. It's better down there where I lived in Malden, South Carolina for a while out in the country. I had rabbit dogs. He had good rabbit dogs. He had two of the best rabbit dogs. They're known around there for being the best rabbit dogs. This fellow come over and said, I want to buy him. He said, $5,000. He said, your dog worth $5,000. He said, mine aren't. He said, what do you mean your dog's worth $5,000? He said, buddy, them two dogs work together. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll take you out here in this Teresa patch and we'll get a rabbit up. You just watch it. That'll tell you what involvement is all about. They get together. Sure enough, boy, this rabbit got up and that squealer, she said, she started squealing. That other one, he started going. And they chased that rabbit. That fellow was watching. The rabbit went across old dirt road, and there was an old dilapidated farm place over there, and there was a whale out there. And the rabbit jumped over that old abandoned whale. He said, what's your dog going to do now? He said, well, and dog got up there and they got that whale off the track and ran that whale about three times. Then a minute one jumped in the bucket and said, "Let him down." Yeah, man! They got his ball! Oh, God, what somebody just get in the bucket and let him down?
Amen.
Hey, we got to have that corn, we got to have that wine in our church. We lose the corn, we lose the wine.
Right.
Come on.
That's right.
And I'm serious, folks. I go in too many churches.
Yeah, you're right, preacher.
Ain't no joy there.
You're right, preacher.
Oh, no.
That's right.
Listen to me. This brings me to my last point. This is where you and I are going to look at each other. There has to be an inspection.
Amen.
When I was in service, we had foot locker inspection on Saturday morning. When you opened that foot locker up, they had told you when you first went in there exactly how this had to be rolled, where it had to be laying neatly, everything had to be in its place. Your bed had to flip a quarter up if he dropped it on there. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Inspection. Go through. Go through the gates. Prepare you the way of the people. What people here agree with? Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people.
Yes.
Now, my grandmother taught me this good word, and some of you educated folks won't use it, but we must thoroughly.
Yes.
See, thoroughly is okay for our day, but that's why we're missing out. Back then, they done it thoroughly.
Yeah.
Are y'all going to get with me? We must thoroughly examine ourselves.
Right.
Here's what he said first. Go into the gates of your mind. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ.
Amen.
Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If you ever get in the fellowship that God wants you in, you have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing will distract you. It'll be just like he said. You're doing it all for someone else. You're not doing it for self.
Amen.
When you get into that inspection, go into the gates of your mind. That's preparation.
Amen.
So you've got to get ready for something.
Amen.
And then he said, cast up the highway of yourself.
Amen.
Look into the mirror.
Yes.
In other words, ponder what I've shown you. If you were to ask the average Baptist what that pastor preached that morning at the service that night, they'll go, duh.
You're right.
No meditation, no pondering.
Preach on, brother.
Amen.
See, he said there's got to be some preparation so you'll know how to ponder. And then he said, gather out the stones.
Right.
You know, none of us here are there.
Right.
See, if you're here, you can't be there.
Amen.
Is that too deep? Now, the reason you're not there is because you're here.
Right.
And you're going to stay here till you get them stones out before you ever get there.
Right. Hey.
See, if ain't no preparation and no pondering, you're not going to see your stones. You can see his stones.
Right.
You see, I know where you're from. You didn't get rid of that mustache. Yeah, I know a preacher one time wouldn't let a preacher preach at his church because he had a mustache. Another wouldn't let a preacher preach at his church because he had wire-rimmed glasses. Boy, Grandma couldn't have preached at their church.
Right.
She's a better preacher than every Baptist preacher today, anyhow, isn't he? Come on!
Yeah.
See, these people is always measuring you by themselves. They don't really know what they are like because they won't get in the mirror and look, and therefore they don't have any preparation, and they never can get their own stones out. Isn't it strange they can take straighten out and straighten out?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't cuss as much as I used to. I'm serious. You wouldn't have had nothing to do with me 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Hey, I'm ashamed of what I'm fixing to tell you, but it's God's on the truth. I served time penitentiary. I've done everything you do. I've been on chain gangs. I would be in the penitentiary for life if God hadn't removed me from the crowd. I was with you.
Yes, sir.
So when I got saved, I didn't know that you had to quit all them things right away. get you to thinking now, what in the world did Brother Toby get this fella in here for? You know, giving out stones is labor.
Yes,
you got to dig deep.
Right.
Talk about hard work. Used to help my old granddaddy Bagwell get new ground ready. Had that skid going along behind that mule, buddy. And I'll tell you, talk about back-breaking work. And boy, you missed that stone back there. Go back and get that. See, if you'd have got it way back yonder, you wouldn't have had the toe on the whip. That mule didn't have reverse on it. Hello? God will point out stones in our life back yonder, and if we don't gather them out, it's because we quit pondering, and therefore there's no preparation, and the revival meeting will be over, and somebody will say, we had a good revival. You didn't have a bit of revival.
Amen.
Amen. Revival ever starts here at Truth Baptist Church, it won't stop in a week's time or 2 weeks' time or a month's time. It'll go on for a while.
Amen.
Amen. I wish I'd depart for about a half hour. Y'all wouldn't stay with me. But have you ever studied about stones throughout the Scripture?
Oh, yes.
My, my, my.
That's good.
I love word association in the Bible. I've been studying that way for years. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. All that word's put in there, not to fill up space, but to give you something. Present your body a living sacrifice.
Amen.
Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, God said, if I can get some preparation in you, if I can get you to go into the gates of your mind, if I can get you to start looking up your own highway and go to pondering some things that I'm talking to you about, then I can get you to get out some stones and present yourself to me the way I want you so you can lift up a standard.
Amen. Amen.
That is the truth.
Amen.
We don't have much of a standard anymore.
You're right.
You know, folk, I haven't changed, and I'm not going to change. I don't try to make people mad. I may not make you believe what I believe, but I make you believe I believe what I believe.
Right.
I think that's the way it ought to be. Amen.
Amen.
What Dr. Harold Sattler taught me, what Dr. Oliver B. Green taught me, what Dr. J. Harold Smith taught me, three of the greatest preachers, as far as I'm concerned, come out from my area up there. What they taught me, I'm still trying to practice.
Amen.
Well, Lester Roloff told it one time, he said, hey, son, when you first get saved, you don't know nothing. You ain't got much conviction. But he said, just run on mine until you get yours.
Amen.
It won't hurt you.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Dr. Sattler taught us so many things in Bible college. And I mean, I don't have time tonight, but I remember one. I was pastoring a church and had him down for a meeting. And they was fixing to run me off. I've had to leave a number of churches on account of sickness. Two or three of them got sick of me. Anyhow, the head knocker, he's always the head knocker, but the head knocker come to Dr. Sattler, and he was all nervous, and he said, Dr. Sattler said, we got a problem going over here, brother, for you and this and that. He said, oh, what do we need to do? And Dr. Sattler looked down at him, and he said, don't do nothing. If you ever ask a question that you don't have an answer for, why expect somebody else to give it to you? If they give you the truth that you need, you won't accept it.
You're right.
Most people will not accept what they want you to tell them, what they want to hear.
Right.
Old Dr. Tyler says, if you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Yeah. Now, that don't work if you're standing on the railroad tracks and the train's coming. You know what to do. If you don't know what to do then,
move.
Bye-bye-bye. You see them going by as the train pushes them. I'm serious. 9 out of 10 Baptists don't know what to do. Most of them don't know what to do when Sunday afternoon gets around because they don't go to church on Sunday night.
Amen.
Some of them don't know what to do on Wednesday night because the prayer meeting don't mean nothing to them.
Amen.
You know what I've done at home? I changed prayer meeting to Thursday night because it's so confused. They came. I'm not saying this bragging. We had the same number on prayer meeting night as we had on Sunday morning. We had the same number on Sunday night as we had on Sunday morning. They thought they were supposed to come.
Yeah.
They didn't learn until some visiting preachers come down there and mess them up. I'm serious.
Yeah. Preach on, brother.
Hey, 2 times a year, my people gave 90% and kept 10. two times a year, July and Christmas. Happy Birthday Jesus and our mission program in July. I set up a mission program unknown to anyone else, but I'd never heard of it, so it had to be unknown to anyone else. I call it Faith Promise. But if a missionary come in, and I said, boy, I just feel like the Lord wants us to take on this missionary that night. I said, me and my wife's going to give $10 a month to this missionary. And we had a mission secretary, and she got a little book out. She wrote my name down, put $10 down. I said, who else? And there'd be 25 or 30 other men in there. But that money down. Another missionary come in. That's the way we done our mission. Secretary kept up with it. We supported 43 missionaries. Hello? Amen. I started in Bible College and said, if you have a financial problem, take on a missionary.
Amen.
Y'all don't try to outdo me. Well, Lord, we took him on the faith. I'll dump y'all out a blessing you can't receive it all.
Amen.
Amen. Just keep on doing that. Hey, we did it. First missionary we took on our church. He's witness to John Wayne, his little boy. Witness to John Wayne, his wife witness to John Wayne. He personally won the physician that took care of John Wayne when he was making those Western movies in Durango, Mexico to the Lord. Talked to Pat Wayne the night that John had left this world. And Pat said these words to Robert Hawthorne the Father. I like John Wayne in his movies, and y'all do too. I know that. You're patriotic and all that stuff. He said, Brother Hawk, you don't have to worry about Daddy. He said, I don't. He said, no. He said, he converted to Catholicism before he died. No need to worry about it. Nothing be done in him. And I said, all I say this. That preacher come down there. We had about 19 in our little church. I've been taught these different things in school. And so, boy, we didn't have, me and Mama didn't have no money. We had one bed to sleep in. We had a little small child's bed for our boy. We didn't have a couch. Didn't have a two-folding chair, three-folding chair. Didn't have no refrigerator. Didn't have no stove. I'm talking about living by faith. Church couldn't pay me nothing because we didn't have nothing. We're starting out. So we took up offering for the missionary that night, and it was about $20, give or take. I'm sweating it out. He said, boy, I'm hungry. I can't wait to get over Brother Hughes' house and eat. I said, baby, you going to take Sister Hawk and children over and then Brother Bob will be on in a few minutes. I'm going to get him right back and break some of that money out of him, you know, if I could. We went out the door, closed the lights on 420 East Park Street. Bob Hawk looked at me and he said, Marty, Holy Ghost told me you didn't have no money. That this take me by a store. We stopped by a little store, got us some bologna, loaf bread, a little jar of mayonnaise, and some milk, and maybe some soda pop, and some moon pie, and something like that, and went on to the house. We ate fellowship, and everybody got tired and went to bed. You know where the missionary and his wife slept? They slept in our bed.
Right.
His children slept in my little boy's bed, and me and my wife and my little boy, Jeff Hughes, slept on the floor of the house. I was taught the principle of give of your best to the master, and we did. I couldn't go to sleep because breakfast comes in the morning. We didn't have no refrigerator. We didn't have no stove. We didn't have nothing. I'm serious. I couldn't sleep, but about 3:30 that morning, I said, Lord, I just got to get up and walk outside. Maybe it's 4 o'clock, and I'm walking around outside, and I look on my 57 Volkswagen. Now, you're talking about a big preacher. I was a big preacher back then. I had a 57 Volkswagen, red. At least they could see me coming, amen. And sitting on that Volkswagen was a box, and I said, what in the world is that? And it was a bread box sitting up there. And I went over that bread box, and there was some brown and served rolls and some loaf bread and some of them old sweet honey bun like things back in, had that white fat priest stuff on top of it and a $20 bill stuck in that bread box. I said, I woke up all the Catholics in the neighborhood. I was tiptoeing through tulips, roses, daffodils, any kind of flowers around there. I was flushing them. My wife come doing that. You're going to wake up the neighbor. I said, don't woke them up. Don't care. Look here, honey. I handed her that, and I said, I'm going to the store. I went down there and got some stuff and all. You know, we had a little hot plate now. Hey, we had breakfast. We had breakfast. Oh, hey, God said, if you just give up them stones.
Yes, sir.
Did you know the thing that prevents growth in a field, a garden?
Right.
Once you get the stones out of the way, you ain't got nothing left but dirt. That's Baptist.
Right.
And if you'll fertilize them Baptist water, they'll grow.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, we started seeing fruit here and fruit there and fruit here and fruit there. Oh, I wish I had another hour, but I got to get through this. See, God said you got the proof to lift up the standard. Then verse 12 tells us what's going to take place. And they shall call them. When Truth Baptist Church gets to that point that God wants to bring you to, then Bremen shall call you, listen to it, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord.
Yep, that's good, preacher.
In other words, they'll call you believers.
Amen.
Did you know they'll make a believer out of you? If you'll study Acts chapter 13, Paul made a believer out of a guy that was hooked up with the devil. But he saw something different and he became a believer.
Amen.
If they don't ever see something different, they're not going to become a believer. Amen.
Amen.
And so he said that. Then he said, and thou shalt be called sought out.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Wonder how many churches there are in Bremen. I guarantee, but you let revival break out in any church around this part of the country, and there's somebody that will seek out your church.
Amen.
They were sought out. A city not forsaken. They'll seek what you have. Three things. I'm done. Three things always take place when this happens. Look at verse 11. Number one, thy salvation coming. That does not mean you get saved again. But I'll tell you, let me ask you this old dumb question, but I think every one of some of y'all look as dumb as I do, so I figure you can grasp this. If he said thy salvation cometh and you already saved and can't get saved again, then if a new person comes in and thy salvation cometh, then if it's good with what you've done, it's going to be better with two.
Sure.
And if another gets saved and comes in, thy salvation cometh, then three. And before you know it, but he'll totally preach in himself. Lord have mercy. He's swinging on channel lick. Y'all going to preach in the back. As long as thy salvation cometh, the church has got hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Salvation's not coming. There's no hope. Our hope's in salvation coming.
Amen.
But you know who's behind the salvation that's coming? Is the one that's bringing it.
Amen.
Hey, I'm about ready to run around the auditorium. Yeah, I know what the next two thoughts are.
Amen.
You don't think I can run at 76? I can jump a barbed wire fence with a watermelon under each arm.
Amen.
Come on. His reward is with him.
Yeah.
Yep. Somebody gets born again, buddy, and you preach the truth to them, they'll do it happen. They'll want to go on visit. I mean, I'm talking about the Spirit of truth comes to you to lead you and guide you into all truth. He ain't going to get the whole load in one service, but he'll attach on to whatever comes.
Amen.
Spirit bears witness.
Yes, sir.
Spirit of Truth is mentioned four times in the New Testament. If you want to study them four times out and make the applications that God gives you. And the reason our churches are like they are, we've got more that are in a spirit of error than a spirit of truth.
That's
what
God's
keen on.
Amen.
You get everybody sitting here tonight and everybody in here tonight full of the Spirit of Truth, revival already be gone.
Amen.
You couldn't stop if you wanted to.
You're right. Amen.
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 We shouted to 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock sometimes down in Honolulu, John, and people didn't want to go home. So when the panel went home, I said, listen, tomorrow night I don't know what's going to take place. God may show up again. If he does, if you want to, bring you a bologna sandwich. I didn't think no more about that. Boy, we were done. Old Dr. Scott was there preaching. I'm telling you, we're having a time. It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I thought, Lord, I'm getting hungry myself. And it dawned on me, and I said, oh, I hope y'all paid attention to me what I said last night. Old May LeBlanc said, yeah, I got me one preacher. And she held a blown sandwich up out of her purse in a little wax bag. I said, take me half of it, sir. And he take it your word. If you told them to go and do this, they did it. That little group of people, God let me pastor those years down there. I had one man, Kevin LaBeouf, he's blind now, one eye, almost blind in the other eye. He took care of our track ministry. He told me one day, he said, Brother Martin, in this little old town of Honolulu, we have literally passed out door to door over 76,000 gospel tracts.
Hallelujah.
That's what you call evangelizing.
Amen.
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 Y'all still with me?
Amen.
I mean a lack of reward.
Amen.
See, a gift and a reward are altogether different.
Amen.
You got the gift.
Right.
Salvation is not a reward, it's a gift.
Amen.
But what you do for the Lord comes with a reward.
Amen.
And he said, thy reward is with him and his work before him. Now he talks about a preacher just going on. I met him, knew him for years. My protege was no doubt Dr. Harold B. Stafford. Loved him, great man of God. He's gone on, but his work's still following.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know how Brother Toby, how long he's been your pastor, but if God was to take him out tomorrow, the next day, or whatever, his works will be following.
Amen.
They're following.
Yes, sir.
If you want to have revival, I come to this conclusion, and this is a responsibility. See, salvation is of the Lord. Revival is of God in you.
Amen.
That's the mind of
it. See, human responsibility.
Yes.
See, why do people get so caught up? You've got this bunch out here, all they talk about is sovereignty. Mm-hmm. They all go this way, and all this other crap, this Armenian bunch, all they talk about is what they can do.
Right.
Well, see, this thing's simple. God is like the train on two tracks,
yes,
heading toward glory. These wheels don't ever get ahead of these wheels.
No.
Amen. So election and evangelization go together.
Yes, sir.
They're just as simple as ABC. Somebody said, you got it figured out. I just know they run together. And they're going to both reach the end of the road at the same time.
Amen.
And so what that means is, whosoever will, let him come.
Sure. Right.
As a matter of fact, if somebody wanted to come, you couldn't stop them anyhow.
Amen.
Right.
Just like when a baby is being born.
Yeah.
9 months to have a baby. How many of you ladies agree with me? 18 months for twins, 27 months for triplets. It's going to happen every time like that. God gave you four things in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, you do these and I'll do three. Why didn't he do four? The best is still yet to come.
Amen.
When is that? When you can look back and say, it's on! It's on! Woo! It's on!
Amen.
People around Bremen find out it's on over here, they will come see what's on.
Amen. Amen.
I want to ask you a personal question. My sister's going to come to the tent. You say, Brother Marty, you don't know me. You don't know nothing about me. I know Brother Cody, whatever. He wouldn't tell you nothing about me. But I'm tired of living like this.
Amen.
I'm looking to be a flat.
Amen.
To be married to the master.
Sure.
Amen. I won't be kept in front of you. I won't be twofold. I'll be onefold. He said he was a onefold Baptist. Every one of us at some time or another just a onefold Baptist. Well, then one day, twofold.
Yeah.
We met in the middle of the river, kissed one another. Hips upon heels. When you become twofold, then you're on your way to do something for God. It hadn't been seen yet what a pastor and a flock following that pastor could be for the glory of God. Come on, we're beginning to sit there. I've played some coffee. The invitation's going to be given, whatever your need is. You say, I'm serious, preacher. I want revival. I want revival. Do you? Did you get out some stones? Are you looking down that highway?
Amen.
Just checking yourself out. Oh, I'd love to see God do something. I mean, I'd love to get word. Husband and wife to get along together. Young'uns would see something mother and daddy make them want to get saved. The reason the average teenager is not saved today in a family where mom and daddy attend church is because they see what's going on at home. Nobody else sees what's going on.
Amen. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Thank you.
I'm so glad I'm saved at night.
Amen.
I'd love to preach another hour. I'm serious. I didn't tell it all. Somebody said, boy, he has a message. No, we preachers only have Jesus. They couldn't include it. The world itself couldn't contain the things that have been written about. He had such. Woo! Would you stand to your feet? You say, preacher, you're just trying to get me to altar. You guessed it. You hit the nail on the head. You're trying to get me to. I am. But I will tell you something. You have, nobody comes to the altar. Does business, God won't swallow pride.
That's right.
Now you may come to the altar and pray about 2 or 3 seconds like average bad and go back to sleep, nothing happened. That's why you left. You'll swallow pride and come just a wall and say, God, I want revival. Lord, show me them stones. I might have won Christ by them. I'll go back and dig them up, Lord. Show me them stones. Lord, I want to be ready for the evangelist when he gets here tomorrow night, because I know you're going to be speaking to him and I get something.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you about your needs right now. I believe the saints of God will be praying for the need. There may be just one person in here that raised their hand and said, preacher, I've never been saved. I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't understand all this you're talking about. I'm not a Christian. I'm not born again. I'm going to raise my hand and ask you to pray for me. Would there be one? Well, wait just a moment. Just a moment. We're not going to linger that long. Would you pray for me? Would you? Would there be one? Say, preacher, God spoke to my heart during this message. I need to come on down to that altar. Come on. While she's praying. Just step out. Look me first. No doubt God has spoken to hearts. That word. It's sent forth to speak to heart. It don't have to be lightning and thunder, all of that. That still small voice can penetrate your innermost fields, point out whatever he needs to point out to you. Would you come right now? With you while she's playing, I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. God bless you.
Leave this world far. to be.